We're going to move to public forum, item 17. I only have one speaker card. That's Steve Schimmick. Mr. Schimmick? And if anyone else wishes to address the board during public comment period, which is to comment on anything not on today's agenda, please hand your speaker cards up here, and we'll proceed.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Steve Schimmick. It's still morning. Good morning, everyone. Steve Schimmick, Monterey Coast Keeper. It's good to see you, and welcome new board member Wolf. This is going to be very brief. I'm going to hit two topics. First of all, I want to bring your attention to the a report that was released in actually November, the Summary of Toxicity in California Waters. It's a very important report. I think that there's going to be additional documents coming after this summary. But it actually reports a fairly grim picture for the Central Coast. If you look at water toxicity, the percentage of waters that are highly toxic in the Central Coast is the greatest in the state of California at 22%. That compares with a statewide average of 7%. These are surface waters. This is and these are the highly toxic numbers. If you look at moderately toxic, it's 13.8% versus a statewide average of 13.1%. If you look at total toxicity, it is 56% of waters in this state or surface waters in the region are toxic compared to 44.2 as a statewide average. There is some information as to why, but I won't go into that. I'll leave it up to you. If you want to know, you can ask me. The second topic very quickly is sea otters were brought up, and just to address it very quickly. Sea otters have been found dead from microcystis, which is a freshwater algal bloom, again, that is stimulated by nitrates in both surface and groundwaters. Those freshwater algae then wash into the ocean and become toxic to sea otters. There were 26 otters last year that were found dead. Literally, when they were necropsied, the livers of those animals fell through the person's fingers when she pulled it out of the otter. The second contaminant of concern that I think relates to what was being discussed would be PBDE, which is a flame retardant, and that's been found in very high levels in sea otters. So again, and we're just talking about of emerging concern. There's lots of contaminants that have been found in sea otters, including DDT. But as far as contaminants of emerging concern, I would say that this nitrate problem is one of them, and microcystis. And then the second is this flame retardant issue. That's it. Thank you very much. And again, welcome, Mr. Wolf.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Schimmick. Frank Acilio.
Frank Acilio, Los Osos. I have a follow-up question that wasn't on the wastewater project, but it was about the staff reports. If you can answer the question, because I didn't get the chance to finish it. When a staff enters things in a report that's to this board, and there has been public comment saying that they believe there's misinformation in that, and the board doesn't say anything about that information presented by the public of what they believe is misinformation, does that document then stand as the corrected document and supported by this board?
Well, what typically happens is there's minutes that are taken down. Mr. Thomas, is that what your job is today? And typically, the minutes will reflect comments by the public on any agenda item.
Right, I understand that, that there's minutes and, recording. But what I'm trying to understand, does that document stand? Since the board says, okay, we believe that that should be corrected, I haven't heard this board say that, would you please correct that document, or we disagree with that particular part of a staff report by putting it on the record. Because by the board being silent, then they condone what was written in that report,
right,
no matter what the public has stated at this podium.
Right.
So that's what I'm looking at in, just generically of any report that would be presented to this board. And the other question. Okay.
We'll get an answer to that one.
I can answer part of that. If it's it's a matter that's an adjudicatory matter, like an adoption of a permit or an enforcement matter, and there's incorrect evidence in the record, then if someone makes that statement, then it would be corrected in the record to make sure the record is accurate that goes to any appeal or petition.
Only under those circumstances.
And if it's evidence that's necessary for adoption of a basin plan amendment, it would need to be corrected. If it's just a regular update staff report to the board, in their agenda, it's probably not going to be corrected. But if you point it out, then that's possible that staff could address that if necessary. But it's only required if it's those items I mentioned.
And the other issue is, would this board consider having the staff have their names on the reports that are submitted by them so it can be the, because I didn't hear anybody comment on that one, for accountability and for future reference when somebody from the public requests the Public Records Act that they know who wrote that report. If they don't have the minutes, it makes it easier for when requesting reports, unless you know that you have to request everything.
Actually, if you look at the table of contents, the agenda, It will list the staff person. So although Mr. LaCaro's name doesn't appear on the staff report itself as a separate document, if you refer to the agenda, it'll say on status report number 13, has his name and his phone number.
Right, and I'm aware of that aspect.
Yeah.
I'm just saying on the reports, though, I think for the public it would be easier to have their name also on the report as well, since it's already on the blue sheet, that agenda item.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, that is our last speaker for public comment. Is lunch here?
It's not here yet, but it should be here.
Okay, so why don't we move on then to number 18.